My name's Tom Riles. I'm the writer and director of Saros 145. Working on a few shows at the moment, but Saros 145 is my first play that I've done that I wrote myself. The play opens with two men who are sat having coffee, and they're having an in-depth discussion where we don't quite understand what the situation is. However, it becomes apparent that these two men are deaf. They've been deaf since they were relatively young, and as they've gotten older, they've also developed a condition which means they're beginning to go blind. This becomes difficult for them because as they grew up, they learned to lip-read each other, and they spent their entire lives lip-reading each other, and that became their only form of communication. Being blind makes this difficult because you can't lip-read each other anymore. So that's the opening of the play, and then there's sort of an hour-ish long conversation between them, interrupted by scenes of their mum on a night shift in 1981. And as we get towards the end, we sort of begin to see the links between their conversation and the events of this night shift that their mum, a nurse, did in 1981.
You know, Birmingham's not so bad.
Are you being serious?
It's got charm, in a rustic sort of way. I imagine the accent is sort of bouncing.
You're always fascinated by the accents.
I've always wondered what accents are like. I only ever see them when people's lips move. Do you not wonder about it?
No. We're deaf. If I'll never hear them, what's the point?
It's interesting, Paul. It interests me.
Hi, I'm Tim and I play Paul.
Hello, I'm Andrew and I play Dan.
Paul and Dan are twins at this point in the play. They're middle-aged and they've got a disorder, which means by the time they're 12, 13, they've lost their hearing.
And then they go in blind as well. So the play just about the experience of going blind and deaf.
And sort of about them having to face the fact that the only way they have to communicate, and have done since they were 12, 13, is by lip reading. So when they go blind, they have to be faced with sort of a total eclipse of communication between them, which is where the link to the title is.
My name is Emily Thane and I play Jackie. She's a nurse and her scenes are set in the sort of 1970s, not 1980s. She's a mother of the two boys, and she, as I said, she's this nurse and she works in a hospital, and she's quite practical. She's very protective over her family, and she will do her utmost to protect that. She's a sort of mix of being a very practical woman who can do things for herself, yet she's stuck in a situation, her home situation, where she doesn't necessarily get to be as sort of strong-willed as she would perhaps like or would definitely be able to.
Hello? Is that John? I'm looking for Steve. I don't suppose he's finished work yet. Sorry to call the floor, but I'm doing a night shift and he's supposed to be looking after the kid. Oh, okay, thanks. He's not. Do you know where he is? He left when? That was nearly 3 hours ago. I see. Yes, everything is all right here. Thanks, John. No, it's not bad. Steve loves his job. I'm just working because we need a bit of extra money. The kids are having a few problems. Oh, no, nothing serious. Don't worry. Promotion? Well, that'll be much appreciated, of course. How appreciated? Well, I'm sure he'd... Oh, well, I'd appreciate it very much. Yes, Mr. Clark. I'm sure that could be arranged.
I read a news story about two men who were in this situation and what they went through, and I thought it was an incredible account of bravery. And so I started researching what happened to these two men, their story, and sort of the themes involved, and I thought they were some of the most fascinating documentaries, some of the most touching and at times very difficult to watch videos of what these two men went through. And I thought I wanted to explore these themes more. I wanted to learn what I thought about it. And I thought the best way to do that was through writing a play and exploring the themes like that.
I found it quite challenging. It's been... I was very aware of the topic that it talks about, but it has definitely made me think more about it and made me, you know, try and even if I can't come up with opinions necessarily about what it deals with, you know, at least I'm much more aware of situations that and this is going on now and it's happening to, you know, real people. So it's been quite enlightening, really, and yeah, it does make you think.
It's two characters that are in a fairly desperate situation, so possibly they say things that are not necessarily the nicest things, but when you understand sort of the history and what's led them to be that way, I don't want to justify it, but it gives you a sort of understanding.
After the end of the play, I'm going to invite everybody to V-Bar, come and talk to us. As warm-ups and rehearsals, the cast and I have been going through videos, documentaries, and discussing them as sort of a mental warm-up, so we've all had some form of debate already about the themes related to this. So hopefully people will speak to us and have a good discussion with us afterwards.
I don't have crazy fascinations. They're all perfectly justified.
You printed off lists of eclipses and stuck them up all over the walls. How do you justify that one?
The eclipses are definitely linked to our lives, especially this one cycle, Saros 145. It has a total eclipse this year, 2017. The eclipse before this was in 1999. It was the first one we watched together when we went on that holiday. The one before that was in 1981, the year that...
I know what year that was.
Pooh.
So when's the eclipse this year?
Tonight.
Wow. The world is going dark for us.